Blog Talk Radio.
Few Americans truly understand our prison system.
Prisoners under the 13th Amendment essentially work as...
in a form of neo-slavery.
End mass incarceration.
Millions for prisoners, human rights.
March on Washington, August 2017.
No Shackles Radio.
Platform. Today, your host, Malar Devon Malar. My other co-hosts, they'll introduce themselves. First, I got Layla Izzy. Introduce yourself.
Peace and blessings, everyone. Thank you for joining, and we look forward to hearing your voices today. This is Layla Izzy, live from Southeast San Diego, currently at El Cajon Ground Zero, where the police just murdered one of our brothers.
Thank you. My next co-host, Mama Condi.
Greetings to everyone. This is Mama Condi. I'm calling in from Olentangy, Ouachita, misnomered Columbus, Ohio. And we're looking forward to your calls, your comments, and your experiences and your questions.
Definitely. Before we get started, let's get a quick moment of silence for all the people that passed away in Haiti due to the hurricane that just hit. They lost over 300 people and counting. So let's have a moment of silence real quick. Definitely. And down from the hurricane has now hit the southern states, and a lot of our people down there don't have no power in North Carolina, South Carolina. Our chairman, Crystal Roundtree, you know, sending a shout out to her as well, to the brothers and sisters that's incarcerated. You know, they're on lockdown. Hopefully they safe. Hopefully they getting fed and things of that nature. You know, we also thinking about them as well. You know, tonight is the People's Platform. If you got questions, hit the one. And I see you in the queue, and I will bring you in when the time is right. Now, a few things I want to discuss before we get started. I have a few updates, and one is dealing with recently in New York on Friday, the police did something that was unprecedented after a police shooting. They released it, a 71-page detailed report on the shooting of George Tillman on April 17th in South Ozone Park, Queens. Now, what I find interesting is one of the statements that was made was only a jury can help us understand why a father of five, a licensed electrician, being investigated for an open container, can get shot 11 times without getting a shot off after he allegedly supposed to pull out a gun on the police. So, you know, the history of New York, just like the history of everywhere else, we know the police will plant a gun or will plant evidence. Maybe this was the case. Maybe it wasn't. As far as updates on the march, a few updates on the strike. First and foremost, we have to acknowledge that the strike, the reason it took place September 9th, because that was the 45th anniversary of the Attica riots that happened back in 71 or 72. Excuse me if I get the years mixed up. But it was an anniversary to that day where you know, a lot of things came from the Attica riot, like the grievance process and things like that. And if you understand what happened at the Attica riots, what the brothers really wanted, it was some of the smallest things that we take for granted. like rolls of toilet tissue, because they was only getting one or two rolls of toilet tissue a month. Little small things. So the strike was organized by the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, a project of the Industrial Workers of the World Union. Now, some prisons in some states, they got what you call high security prison, and the people that was on high security prison, they don't necessarily work. So what they did was they fasted to show their solidarity with the brothers that and sisters that did strike. What I found in on Red Onion State Prison in Virginia, you had 17 prisoners who refused about 3 weeks of their meals. So what the administration did was they split them up and transferred them to other units. Now, in California, at Merced County Jail, they sent in a sheriff's 13 dogs to break up what they was doing. In Kinross Correction Facility in Michigan, hundreds of prisoners allegedly returned to their housing unit peacefully after the strike began, but they sent in 100 armed officers with shotguns, fire, and pepper spray. And this caused unnecessary violence. At Holman Correction Facility in Alabama, which is one of the worst correction centers probably in the United States, the Department of Justice announced October 6th it would investigate the violence and inhumane conditions at the facility. And other developments, in Ohio State Penitentiary, a brother named Sadiq Abdul Hassan, they bringing him up on institutional infractions for his participation in an interview about the march. So now what we see now is oppressive measures being taken to suppress something that's actually peaceful to begin with. So like I said, once again, people, press the 1 on your phone and you will go in the queue, and I would acknowledge you when the time is right. Now, moving along, the basis of this march is the 13th Amendment. And those that's not familiar with the 13th Amendment, let me reinstate what the 13th Amendment says. It says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime with the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Now, what that means is basically they transferred slavery over from private ownership to the ownership of the government. That's all they did. Okay, so I want my co-host, Layla Azee, to speak on what's going on out there, which is something that's real serious in San Diego. Could you add on about that, Layla?
How you doing, brethren?
Definitely.
So what we have in California, in Southern California, is a police officer who was actually sued in 2014 for sending pictures of his penis to his coworker, his subordinate. At that time, they had protests in the community to have him fired. The city manager of El Cajon decided that they were going to keep him with a gun. This same man was sued again by the same officer August 2016 because he was harassing her, stalking her, and intimidating her. Still again, the city of El Cajon decided to keep this police officer with a gun. On September 27, 2016, the same officer responded to a call from a sister saying that her brother was having a breakdown because of severe trauma going on in his life. This police officer, instead of coming in like a trained professional and de-escalating the situation, decided he was going to box this man in like an animal. He was going to escalate the situation during a severe breakdown at that moment in this man's life at his lowest. At that time, this is where inconclusive evidence or inconclusive statements come out. They say that he pointed a vape, which I guess you smoke tobacco out of, at the police officer who then assassinated him, shooting him 5 times. His partner was there. Wow. Who shot him with the taser, who also saw this. So El Cajon has decided to keep a person who was on record for having impulse control issues. Who was on record, the police out here, they will arrest you for peeing outside and give you an indecent exposure and make you register as a sex offender. This same police officer who was demonstrating sex offender behavior was given a gun by the city of El Cajon. And so now at this point, and this is after many protests to have him fired, the city manager, but El Cajon has this whole thing. They have police officers who've raped women. They have police officers who sexually harassed women. And this same man, he was given the ability to make life or death decisions. And now what we have is a man who came here as a refugee from Uganda who was assassinated by the police department. And you now have a whole county who's attempting to cover up this murder. And so therefore, until his family gets justice and policies are changed in the El Cajon and San Diego police departments, along with probation, parole, and all others, we will not leave. We will affect their dollars. So that's what's going on right here, sir.
Today was the brother's funeral.
Rest in peace,
right,
Alfred Alonso.
I want to take a caller real quick because this is a
yes,
platform.
Sir.
The
yes,
last
sir.
Four numbers, 2866. Speak to me. 2866. I guess he's gone. Next caller. 5659. Last four digits. 5659. You on, caller? Hello? They kind of shy today. You know, anyway, moving on. Moving on. You know, now, a lot of things going on with the movement, prisoners being prison, I guess you would say reform or just light is being shown. It's a movie that just came out on Netflix that I encourage everybody to watch. It's called The 13th on Netflix, and it's building on the 13th Amendment. And the 13th Amendment is getting a lot of traction out there, so... You know, we're on point with this march that's coming up on August 2017, Black August, you know, which is a significant period in a black struggle, especially the prison struggle. So those of y'all that, you know, want to be a part of it and get on board, understand that we have opportunity, we have room, we want people to form local organizing committees. You know, we want you to get on ground with us. We want you to be there. You know what they say, get on the bus and things of that nature. So I want to ask Mama Cuddy right now, how do you see this march unfolding? Mama Cuddy.
Here I am.
She must have, her phone must have hung up.
This is an interesting experience for me because I've been involved with several other marches. I worked in the background for the Million Man March. I worked in the background on the Million Youth March. I worked not so much in the background for the Million Woman March. I was the co-chair for 17 states plus Canada. I did 92% of the websites for the Million Woman March. I did not attend any of the marches, even though I worked with them. And my working with this march is very interesting for me because I have some major focuses for this particular march. In light of what's been happening to us being murdered to the tune of more than 600 so far this year at the hands of white cops. So my concern mostly is for the safety of brothers and sisters who will be attending this march. And I see it unfolding in a way that I am prayerful. We will make sure that our people are safe.
Definitely. Callers, press 1. If you got any questions, press 1 and I'll see you in the queue. You got to press the 1 to get in the queue. I see caller 28, last four numbers is 2866. You live, caller 2866.
We can hear the gritties, so we know the caller is there. but it's like it's not connecting or something.
Let me go to another caller. Caller, last four numbers, 5659. You on live. 646 area code. Hello? I don't know. Now, we probably experienced some death with it. See people was gun shy or whatever the case may be. Now, moving on. Now, as well as a new development that I've seen, it's a global development. I ran across an article that says Zimbabwe is leasing out their prisoners for $2. Now, what I want to ask my co-host, starting with Layla, do you feel that the American prison labor model is becoming a global phenomenon?
Yes, I do, because just reading the article on, I believe it's $2 a day or something of that nature for for-profit companies, that's an American capitalistic trait. So what you have are prison systems in other countries that are looking at America's prison system and seeing that it could be for-profit. So instead of doing locking up, and that's why we want to abolish prisons, period, because what we look at is criminal and crime, and everybody who watched the 13th Amendment documentary yesterday or Friday when it came out, that's yesterday, you'll see that even the definition of crime in itself. I'm interested to know those 17,000 people in Zimbabwe, why are they in prison? Are they for a political view? What are the reasons why they're there? And then on top of that, what kind of humanity would then use for-profit structures in order to deal with the prison problem? And I think that's one of the biggest issues that we're having, why prisons have been constructed, and then looking at what can we do on the back end, and it's never okay to profit from slavery. It's never okay to implement slavery. That's my take on it.
Okay, definitely. Mama Condi.
I find that an interesting question because, excuse me, because Zimbabwe being one of the borderline states of apartheid South Africa, there are examples that go back as far as when Nelson Mandela was released. The day he was released, 1,000 brothers and sisters were incarcerated. 1,000. It's just it's symbolic of what was to come. My question for the Zimbabwe piece in terms of incarceration is this some side effect or fallout from the previous colonialist regime, or is this something that President Mugabe is facing in terms of the pressure that he's getting to get to totally abolish the previous colonial system and bring in his own, you know, his own system? And that hasn't happened in Africa yet, even though we have so-called free countries in Africa. They still have neo-colonialist pieces that are working there, and they're not really in control, especially of the resources. You know, that's World Bank, IMF, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Bilderbergers. You see what I'm saying? So my question, since the economics is still not controlled by Africans in Africa and allegedly running Africa, are the prisons equally as out of control?
You make a good point when you say the economics is not being controlled by the different Africans, and which makes another point. Okay, is this neocolonialism? Is this a way for neocolonialism to come back in to these countries through the back door of prison labor? Interesting question.
That's very possible, sir. That's very possible.
Back once again to the caller. Hold up, Mama. Press 1 in the cube if you want to ask a question. Press 1 because this is the people's platform. If you press 1, I will see you in the queue. I will see you light up. Okay, back to you, Mama Condi.
Then you have European countries and the United States with embargoes against Zimbabwe and other countries. You know, the pressure that capitalism is putting on these countries to bring to bring them under the control economically, to force them to have prison systems, and then have prison systems that are patterned after the West. And then you have the West also putting pressure on African countries where homosexuality is concerned. So there are a lot of different mediums through which pressures apply. And I have to ask myself, is the prison system a part of that pressure that's being applied on Africa?
That's definitely what it is. So let me let's bring it back to the our system of prison labor, you know, and how do we feel about different corporations that use prison labor? Like they say corporations like Wendy's, McDonald's, Starbucks, they use third-party vendors to make their wrappings, to make their containers, but these people use prison labor. Should we hold these corporations that's using these third-party vendors responsible? And if we should, what would the solution be? Layla.
I believe there should be a definite economic boycott on any corporate institutions that are using prison labor. But also, I am in supreme support of this prison strike, not just because of the corporations that are getting lucrative dollars off of slavery, but also the state itself. The state itself saves millions of dollars from using prison labor every single day. Let's look at the firefighters in California. They're out there and they're risking their lives for $1 per day, $2 per day. They're fighting fires. They're protecting the landscape, homes, everything. When they're done, these people are professional fire abatement experts. They've done this. The state has gotten pretty much free labor. They protected their divested interests from home structures to businesses to forests to anything else. And then when they come home, there's absolutely no way possible that a person with a felony can be a firefighter. So it's even asinine, the system and the structure itself. How am I good in slavery fighting fires, but I can't fight a fire once I'm released? I can't get a job. And that's one of the biggest issues that we have, is that basically all of the things, prison is such big dollars, from slavery to their false educational system. How are you getting all this educational money and people are passing GEDs but read at a second grade level? So you got fraud on its highest form going on in the prison industrial complex. And slavery in itself, if prisoners shut that down here and in most other places, even the infrastructure is going to be shaken up because they rely on prison slave labor, as do corporations.
Definitely. At this time, let me bring in one of our other co-hosts. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing all right, my brother. I'm just sitting back right now. I'm listening. It's a little difficult on this East Coast over here with the storm that came through. So, you know, my attendance is kind of shaky, but I'm definitely listening to the sister comrade there, and she's absolutely correct, you know. We're dealing with the beast here, and I'm definitely vibing with the fact of what she said is related to the educational system, the flawed education system within the prison complex, where they're actually giving out GEDs, and brothers and sisters and even children still cannot even come home and comprehend the third or fourth grade, you know. So it's definitely mass, part of the mass level. But I definitely wanted to call in, man, and give my solidarity. I hope everybody was up on this 13th that Sister Abel had us out.
Definitely. I still got to watch it, you know, being formally incarcerated myself, trying to get things started. You know, I'll be going to school, be in school all day sometimes, doing what I need to do to make things happen for a better tomorrow. but I definitely got it on my list to do, and I'm definitely going to promote it. The 13th on Netflix. Watch it. You know, definitely, definitely. Stay on the line, brother. I want to take another caller. 646. The last four numbers is 5659. You on the line.
Yeah, what's up? Hello? My name is Hello?
Yes, I hear you, brother. Go ahead. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I'm a brother that did quite a bit of time. And right now I'm unemployed, not because I don't want to work. I have a PO that's really, really determined to have me fail by telling me I have to have a job that's basically curfew compliant, meaning if I got to get to work at 8, I can't have that job. So I got to get out of this man's power. But I'm just going to say to anybody that's, you know, thinking about living a life of crime, find a better career choice, because that's not what's up. And but I'm dealing with, because you know, I'm taking advantage of programs that's helping me to live in society, as far as you know, like link programs that help people, SEPs program, you know, that you have to pay a very small portion of rent a month. If it wasn't for that, I'd be in a shelter. But the thing is, you got to be patient. If you are on parole, it's not about helping you integrate back into society. In a lot of cases, not all, because there are some decent POs that really want to see you be successful. And there are those who don't. And that just makes you more determined to stay successful.
Definitely.
And mine doesn't.
Let me ask you this question, brother. Are you in New York City?
Yes, I'm in Brooklyn.
Okay, so when you were talking about your PO, are you familiar with the Center of New Leadership on Gates Avenue between Tompkins? It's in a building next to the Ready and Able, but it's an organization called the Center of New Leadership for Urban Solutions, and the ED is a brother named Dr. Devon Pryor, and they address issues like you say about, you know, your parole officer with the curfew and stuff like that, you know, because technically when you have a job or you in school, and if it's outside of the time of the curfew, they're supposed to extend your curfew. If you Google the Center of New Leadership, I think it's 510 Gates Avenue. It's on 510 Gates Avenue.
All right.
And I would advise you to go down there and talk to somebody from the Center of New Leadership.
Okay, that 510 Gates Avenue. That will be on my major to do list.
Definitely.
Because I'm trying to, you know, I'm being patient. I'm continuing to be patient because it's in my last and best interest to be so. But and the thing about it is, I'm reporting to Manhattan when I actually live in Brooklyn, and I've been living in Brooklyn since August 16, and this dude ain't putting the paperwork in yet. So I need to try to go there and just get that issue addressed, you know, because once I get away from him, I can't do no worse than him, unless Idi Amin comes back alive and becomes my PO. but
yeah,
other than that, you know, I just wanted to share that with the people. You know, if you're thinking about doing a life of crime, think about something else. It ain't worth it. And by robbing and taking from others, the one you're going to rob the most from is going to be yourself. And, you know, and if you're out there, you know, in this time, Fort Society is a good place. They've gotten me several job opportunities. And I had to actually turn them down because of my PO.
Definitely.
So, you know, the people that's having issues with their past, they have background friendly employers. So,
definitely.
You know, if you done did time and you're having problems finding a job, Ford Society is a good place to go.
Definitely. The brother Mike Brundage and them over there, right?
Indeed.
Definitely. I know them brothers, definitely. Well, thank you for your input, brother. I surely appreciate it and stay listening to the show. Peace.
Absolutely. And I will be at 5.
Yes, definitely, yo. You know, I think that's another thing that people don't realize. And Michelle Alexander, she touched on that in her book, The New Jim Crow, about how even after you do your time, how, you know, it's almost like you still got the scarlet letter. And these are some of the things that need to be addressed too, because it's like, if you finish a time, why are you still being under such pressure? You know, pressure either busts pipes or pressure make diamonds. And a lot of time, pipes bust. You know, I know a few people recently who got back incarcerated because they didn't realize you can't do the same thing in a new way. There's no new way or better way to do crime. You know, it's almost ludicrous. So, you know, I know it's hard. Me being formerly incarcerated myself, I know the struggle. You know, I got a good support system. So I understand. So just stay focused and leave them streets alone. You know, definitely leave them streets alone. Now, I want to take a break real quick. With that, I'm going to play some music. Definitely. Now we back. Call us. If you out there, you got a question, hit the one in the cube and I will definitely see you and I will definitely get to your question. You know, now getting back to what's going on, it's a Ukraine brother. His name is Fordo. I can't pronounce his last name, but he say something instrumental. He say the degree of civilization in a society can be judged by entering its prison. That's deep. I want to take Sadat. Are you still on the line, brother? Suniata. I guess our other.
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
How did you see that quote from Fordo? The degree of civilization in the society can be judged by entering its prisons.
I had an interview with another radio program a few weeks back, and I had actually hit on that when they was asking the question about how do we respond to people that say prisoners deserve whatever they may get in reference to the 13th Amendment. And my response was that society can be gauged on how it treats the lowest, you know. And so that pretty much came from that quote right there. You know, it was in relation to that quote. I definitely feel like that is on the head. I feel like when you look at the enslavement of the 13th Amendment, you know, it was those that were enslaved in that time period that forced the moral compass, questioned the moral compass, had people questioning the direction that the nation was going to take. It actually engagement on with the lowest, as though it was considered the lowest anyway. They wasn't actually the lowest, but they was considered the lowest. They were dehumanized the way the prisoners are dehumanized today through the 13th Amendment. We find that it be the lowest that usually forces the question of where a nation or where people is actually going. So when I hear that type of statement about a nation can be gauged by the way that they treat his lawyers, particularly those in prison today, I have to say it smacks the hammer. The hammer smacks the nail dead on the head.
I want to throw this over to Mama Condi. Mama Condi, you still there? Because you got a long history of involvement in political activity. How do you see that quote? Want me to read it one more time for you?
Yes, please.
It says the degree of civilization in a society can be judged by entering its prisons.
You know, that reminds me of an African proverb that talks about judging an African nation by the condition of its females. It's a very similar quote. When you see the least of us as the system sees us, where we are is in the prisons. You know, where we are is in poverty. Where we are is under the foot of imperialism. The least of us languish in the prisons. I spent my period of time there when the system attacked me. And it's a situation that makes sense under the type of system that we languish under, which is imperialism and capitalism. It makes sense because you need the majority of the people to be in the worst condition in order to maintain those that that do well on the top.
Definitely. That's kind of me personally, how I see that same quote. You know, when I was inside, unfortunately I did 19 and a half years in prison, and I remember a few times where situations happened and they didn't even feed us. And when these same situations used to come around again, brothers used to tell me what they can't do, meaning the administration. And I used to always tell them, you telling me what they can't do. I'm telling you what they have done. You know, I've been in a situation a few times where they didn't even feed us. You know, and the way that they mistreat prisoners, like another thing people don't know, because a lot of times people don't tell their family members, is like the beatings that go on. I guess because it's the pride. I've never been beaten personally by COs, but I've seen it done, and especially when brothers have verbal discourse with COs and then allow the COs to put handcuffs on them behind their back, which I always thought was the most craziest thing. And soon as they isolate the prisoner behind them doors that slide, all you hear is the person being beat down to a pulp. See, these are things that go on and these things go on regular. It's not like this is some exception to the rule. This is the rule. You know, and I think when you have barbarians, I think when you have mental midgets, I think when you have savages and you dress them up in CO uniforms and you give them a power that they think they have authority over you, the authority become abusive because the authority become absolute, you know. And I think that this is one of the things that people really don't realize when we talk about prisoners' rights. You know, and technically, a lot of people that's in prison shouldn't even be in prison. Like me, I'm not going to tell you that I was an innocent man, because I wasn't. But I've seen a lot of casework, I've seen a lot of paperwork, and I'm telling you, at least a third to 40% of the people that's in prison either got sentenced way outside their guideline or had to take cases based off of they didn't have the lawyers, because the Commonwealth or attorneys or the DAs sold them out. I know that for a fact. So, when you look at these type of things, you got to ask yourself, what type of society that we live in when you know that the weakest person from a social construct is the prisoner, and then you still try to step on them. So I think we live in a savage society. I think that, you know, this society is barbaric and it's a savage and it's ran by savages. And you only got to do is look at today's people that's running for the president. We got two savages, you know. So you got one savage that think that think grabbing women vaginas is all right because he think because he's famous. You got another savage that, you know, arguably her husband is the cause for the prison explosion. This is where we at, people. So it's like we got to ask ourselves, how do we actively get involved in the situation? And I want your input on this, Layla. I don't know if you've ever been in prison because we never actually talked about that, but you real heavy in the prison movement over there in California. What do you think about that same quote?
No, Bretchen, I have never been in prison. Okay. As far as, and you're speaking of the quote about how we judge a society, right?
Yeah, how you can judge the degree of civilization
by
and
how
society.
You treat your prisoners.
Definitely.
Yes. You kind of touched on something because my husband, the street organization, this is years ago, they had an issue where someone did something to the COs, and they lined them up, and they handcuffed them behind their backs, and they then began to assault them, beat them, stomp them out while their hands were behind their back. So that is something that happens often. And because of you're dealing with correction officers, you're not dealing with the cream de la cream here, right? You're dealing with rural towns with people who have low educational levels that you're giving six figures to, and then you're giving them also the decision of life and death. They become a gang of their own, and their objective is supreme oppression. They purposely keep the racial tensions going on. When we say, how do we judge our society, normally we say from the elders and the children, but what that point is from the people who don't have a voice, and that includes prisoners. So if we look at those things, if we look at our prison population, if we look at how we don't uplift our ancestors and our elders, and then the way that we look at our children, you can see basic things. I mean, I don't want to get too political, but when a mother can say you can't see your son because I'm mad at you, that's utilizing your child. And our children are not ours. They're the world's, and our job is to make sure they're the most successful in this world. So if we look at how we treat our prisoners, from starving them to isolating them in solitary confinement, to how we treat our youth that are in prison, from how we treat the families of prisoners by charging them 5 to 10 times the worth of something and really injecting pure capitalism and oppression on them, we can see that we are not an elevated society. So therefore, until we get there where humanity means something, we will never get to our highest level. And this country is just going to fall. It's Babylon. And therefore, the days are numbered. And so that's what I'm looking at. And once again, show me capitalism works. It hasn't been demonstrated yet. This country has never existed without slavery. Free labor.
Free labor. That's a good point. Good point. The People's Platform, I see all you callers. If you got questions, hit the one in the cube and I'll get to you. We want to hear from you. This show today is technically about you. But if you don't be scared to ask no questions. There's no such thing as a wrong question or a dumb question. You know, we looking for all the support we can get. I see you callers out there. I see y'all numbers in my cube on my switchboard. You know, I know you got some questions. I know something is itching. I know. Don't be scared. Hit the one. In the meantime, between time, you know, let us look at, like, you know, from the whole thing, man, about prison, man. It's called the prison industrial complex, you know. And when you look at that, they in the business of getting money. They get money now through, they got other organizations because they outsourcing parts of what they do. Like, they got an organization called JPay that's housed in Florida. You know, and what they do is they provide kiosks to the prisoners, and you have to buy, or what they got is some type of tablet for where you can download emails and you can download music that you buy. And emails, you got to pay 33 cents or something for an electronic stamp. You know, emails is free. So how do you got to pay for email? And you got to pay both ways, because if you want to write your loved ones or your friends or your comrades, you got to pay. Like, me, it's like 40 electronic stamps for $9.99, you know. So
and
I'll be
– they charge page.
They charge each page, bro. When I'm emailing some of my brethren in the Cleveland prison system, over at Lucasville and other places, because they do the J-Pay. They don't do it in Cali, but it's each page. And then you want to send money to put on their books. They charge you $9.95 for that. I mean, it's come on, they're killing us.
Definitely. And another thing that they have done is that before you can used to be able to send money to your people or wire money to them. Now they gave J-Pay that. So if you want to send a money order to your family member, the money order got to go to Florida first. Then they ship the money to where your people at, no matter what state. Because what they're trying to do is to get you to use the wire service. And if you use the wire service, the more money that you send, the higher your fee. So it's like, and it shows you that they're trying to get you on all ends. It's like they're trying to disconnect you from your loved ones. You know, because at the end of the day, they know that if the people in prison are isolated, then they can do what they want to do. Because who cares? If they know you don't have no family support, that's when they really put the screws on you. You know, and that's the job. First, let's suck all the blood out of them financially, which really they sucking the money from your family because you don't have no money. Little 23 cent or 60 cent an hour you get for doing the little jobs, and you got soups that's like 90 cent. You got to buy hygiene. So technically, you don't have no money. Any discretionary income that comes into you comes from your family. So this is, and they know these things. So they see, okay, they got a cap. Prisoners is a captured market, you know. And when you got a captured market, it's like almost a gold mine. Like, it was an article on J-Pay and Business Weekly. The Business Week, the news magazine, a business magazine. And this is a well-respected business magazine, and it had an article on J-Pay. So that lets you know that they saying the capital, which is the number of cows, come from the word cow, cattle, that we are cattle. People in prison, the captured market, are cattle. And that's what's going on. And it's a damn shame. You know, it's a damn shame because, like, nobody is raising a flag for this diabolicalness. Nobody is raising. I remember when I was incarcerated, I had to stop calling home because I was locked up in Virginia, but I'm from New York. But my family members are spread out. Chicago, Alabama, Louisiana. Every phone call I made was almost $20. Every phone call. So I said, yo, I can't be calling people, man. This is ludicrous. I'm going to write letters. Because as a man, you're not trying to put no extra pressure on your people. Because if you call, people going to answer the phone. That's just what your loved ones do. So it's like they was charging $20 a call. Now, some states fought it, and they do a different a way of charging now. But when I was in there, I lost contact with a lot of people, especially friends. Especially because I was a young person in prison. I went to prison at 20, so the people I was dealing with was young. So this was another way to isolate me from the peoples that I was dealing with. All this is designed is to isolate you. You know, only the strongest of the strong is going to hold you down, and usually it's going to be your family, your mother, people that's close to you, and things of that nature. But it makes you bitter because you like, I done dealt with these people on the street. I showed them mad love, and they ain't showing me no love, not knowing that you're not looking at the cat list. It's like, yo, the pressure that the system is squeezing and doing itself to the people. You know, all we look at is the people that we used to deal with, like, yo, they not holding it down. But it's deeper than that. And I think that's what we need to really understand. So it's like, you know, you got loved ones in prison, support them, man. Support them. You know, they're not looking for you. They're not looking for you every day to call you. They're not looking for no money. They don't even want no money, quiet as kept. But that letter mean a whole lot, man. And I think a lot of time, man, we overlook that. What we take for granted in society, people on the inside cherish to the utmost, man. You know, and I think that that's what we have to do, because if we don't support our people on the inside, we don't show them, yo, we willing to fight for them, man, them people going to dog them, man. Them mental midgets, them savages with clown makeup on is going to dog them. You better believe that. You know, you better believe that. So, once again, I want to go ahead.
I want to just jump on. I'm not going to piggyback because we don't do pigs. We don't do swine. So, I'm a horseyback on what you're saying, okay?
Yes.
I just got finished going to war with High Desert State Prison where I had to contact the ombudsman. So I'm asking the Babylon to stop the Babylon from doing unconstitutional things, right? So then I had to go to the Office of Legislation for the state prison who told me they can't talk to me. I got to get to my legislator. So then I had to sign a confidentiality form to get my legislator, my legislator, my assemblywoman, Shirley Weber, to call up there and stop the unconstitutional behavior from holding mail for 30 days when our DOM, our department operations manual for our prison system says you have to give it to them within 7 calendar days. They purposely, that money you're talking about, when he's in the hole and I send to get him the maximum for the hole for $55 to eat, it cost me $137. JPay takes their $10 off top to send it, and the prison takes 55% restitution. Is that taxation without representation?
That's
everybody gets cut before we're even able to and this is how tricky they are. When people like us who understand that system and don't want to participate in their capitalism, we have ways in order to feed every single person that's on the line with him that are his close ones. When we send those things in there, which all are in our department operations manual, and they see that it's going to generate income and take his family from having to pay for things, he'll have everything he needs, they decline. They say those things are not allowable. And that's the war I had, because they're purposely trying to suck us dry. As far as the telephone calls, Globaltel, he goes to the hole, and I got $100 on my Globaltel for him to call. They won't give me back my money unless they charge me a $20 refund fee. Any line, if I want to open up a line on my account for his family members, they're going to charge me $5 each line. So in order to get my – and then if I don't use the money – within 90 days, because he's in the hole, they take it. And if I want it back, I got to pay the $20 refund fee. So if I got $20 on there, I just gave him $20. That's too gangster for me. There needs to be a clean in the prison system in California. It's actually cheaper than the jail system. If you're in a county jail and you have not even been convicted yet, for your family to talk to you once a week, it's going to cost them $40 a month. In your local, for you to eat in the county jail system. I'm talking about, I had a family member come down to county for a court hearing, and he was paying $1,000 a month for telephone calls to his wife, who was literally a mile away.
Wow. And that's why, sister,
this is what they
do. That's why we fight, and that's why we challenge the 13th Amendment. That's why we call this the new abolition movement. You know, that's why we got the march coming in August 2017, and we need people to be a part of the march. And people, if you want to be a part, we have a Facebook page called the Millions for Prisoners March on Washington, and we also, you can go to online to the internet, imweubuntu.com, Millions for Prisoners Human Rights, you'll see that page. Or you can email us at millionsforprisonersmarch@gmail.com. And I want to it's a caller. I want to take this caller right here. Last four numbers are 6136. Caller, you on?
Oh, hello. Hi, my
yes.
name is Monica Williams. I'm calling out of Zephyr Hills, Florida, a little bit north of Tampa. Originally from New York City, I just want to kind of talk about maybe the 13th Amendment.
Yes.
I know that you said that they're high-end inmates for low wages. I'm just wondering, like, you know, how can we get with some of these major corporations and maybe, like, do a mass boycott one at a time maybe, but how can we do that, you know, or how can we find out who they are? Like, where I live at, I see them picking up trash along the interstate, and I know that that's a state job. So they're not definitely getting state wages. So I'm just wondering, like, how can we get with some of these corporations that are hiring these inmates? And I understand the inmates probably want to get out of their environment, you know, for a little while and, you know, get some fresh air. But, you know, they're earning something, but still it's not right. They're not earning what they should be earning. So I'm just wondering, like, who these corporations are and can we get with them one at a time and, like, do a mass boycott?
That's why we got to organize, sister. That's why we organize them right now. You might want to go to one of the pages I sent and form a local organization committee, a LOC. See, the thing is, first we got to identify what corporations, and sometimes a preliminary Google search will actually show you some of the corporations that's actually involved with using prison labor. They're going to say they're not using it direct. They're going to say that they the people that they source their supplies for is using prison labor. But, you know, when you're the captain of the supply chain, you held responsible as well. So I think that it's about organization. And once again, I'm going to tell you, you can go to the webpage, I Am We Ubuntu, and you can see that it's on that page. You can actually set up to be one of the local organization committee, because we are looking for more good people, and you seem like a person that we need to work with, because you express a certain type of concern, you know. So it's like we need people to get off the sideline to get in the game. So if you want to get in the game, sister, that's the way you can get in the game, and then you can bring these ideas to the whole, and then we can all sit down and work together and strategize, because at the end of the day, it's the ants that overpower, you know, and it's many ants, so it's the power of the ant. So if you want, like I said, I'll tell you once more, once again, it's go to I Am We Ubuntu. I am, like I am, we Ubuntu, UBUNTU.com, and when you go to that website, you're going to see one of the pages say Millions for Prisoners, Human Rights, and just sign up through there, and more information will come to you about what's going on. But we definitely need people like you, as well as on Facebook, you can go to the Millions for Prisoners March.
Okay.
Excuse me. Millions for Prisoners March on Washington page, and, you know, and get inside of that group, because we actually educate people. The people educate people. We educate each other, you know. So, and then you'll see what's going on as well. It'll keep you updated and abreast and things of that nature. You know, we need more good people like you, you know. So definitely, you know, check out what I said, and we'll take it from there, you know. And I appreciate your call, sister. You got anything else you want to add on?
I do. I just want to thank my cousin Donald, who called a little bit earlier. I kind of introduced him to this site. And he called and, you know, kind of expressed his views, and I want to thank him for that. And
definitely,
I'll make sure that he'll be on every week, as well as myself.
Definitely, and we appreciate that. You know, we're nothing without the people, because we one and the same. You know,
exactly.
That's the whole thing. You know, that's why we challenging to abolish the 13th. That's our rally cry, because we understand that the 13th Amendment allowed everything that you say to happen. You know, this is what we say. We're the new abolitionists. You know, we trying to be the Harriet Tubman of 2016. You know, we're trying to get
mentor,
out people
yeah.
free.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. You know, so like I said, sister, go do what you got to do. We need you. We need people like you. And if you got friends, you got people that think like you, you know, tell them to come along too. Because like I said, it's the power of the ant. You know, that's what we got to do is ant power. And that's what we need. Definitely, sister. And I thank you for calling, man. Have a nice evening.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Definitely. Now, it's like, you know, I know it's more callers out there. If not, you know, we about to close out. Since there's no more callers in the queue, I'm going to give my guest, starting with Sundata. You still on the line, brother?
Yeah, I'm still on the line, brother.
Go ahead, brother. Give us some closing words before I go to the ladies.
No doubt. So I want to remind everybody that this struggle belongs to all of us. It's not just one of us. It's not just some of us. It belongs to all of us as we strive to transform this nation. Right now, like the comrades say, we are an entity that's definitely moving towards the abolishment of the 13th Amendment. The United States Constitution that is motivating, that is the motivating factor for a lot of the conditions that we that prisoners are experiencing today. This right here also includes the police brutality, the police terror that is taking place in the communities. All of it is tied on screen. We need to remind everybody also that no matter what type of organization you may represent, no matter what group you may be with, we need everybody. We need all hands on deck. This is about abolishing the new form of slavery that is not even really a new form because it just really just grew. It evolved. It is the same slavery that came way back during 1555 or some people saying 1619. It is the same thing. We are trying to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it. The problems that is expressed coming from the bowels of the beast, which are the prisons, the penals, the gulags, the problems that are expressed on the street, the frustration with our families, the frustration with the friends, the loved ones, all of those things are tied to the 13th Amendment. We cannot overstress how much tied it is, how sick and tired of it we are. The 13th Amendment, let me say this in closing, it is what dehumanizes people. To treat prisoners the way that prisoners are treated in this country today, they had to be dehumanized. When the country goes to war with another people, in order to make someone feel good about killing them, first the country has to dehumanize the group of people that are being attacked. And in this country, the group of people that are being attacked, known as prisoners, had to be dehumanized first in order for the treatment that they are allowed, in order for society to allow this to continue. We are saying that these are humans. Their human rights must be respected. They should be restored in all respects. And I'll end on that note, my brother. Abolish the 13th.
Definitely. Abolish the 13th. Layla?
I concur 1,000%. The fact that we still allow slavery to be legalized in this country or anywhere in the world demonstrates how much we have not evolved as a people. And until we realize that in the foundation of everything systematic that we're dealing with starts with this Constitution, and the 13th Amendment is one of the primary ones, we have to exact change. And we can no longer ask. We have to demand this change because we've been nice for too long, and slavery is still legalized. Another thing I want to say is just out here with these young people, because I'm too old. I'm not one of the leaders out here. These young people, 30 and under, on the front line, they're putting their lives on the line. And this shows us that the work that we have done on the ground is apparent. It shows us these young people are out here every single day. I'm only out here to be a number. And we're bringing our kids out here, too, because you know what? We will die on our feet instead of dying on our knees. We're willing to do that. And that's the seriousness of what's going on right now, and protecting our young people and lifting our young people to be leaders, because they are going to assist us with fighting this battle. And I want to thank you guys for giving us the platform to really talk about instrumental things and then push to change them. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Mama Condi, the elder.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Go ahead and give us some parting words.
I'm really appreciative for the format and the opportunity to share and adjust my support for brothers and sisters behind the walls in the prisons. This is a work that I've been involved in for over 45 years, working with brothers and sisters behind the walls, both famous and infamous, elder and youth, and political prisoner, and regular folk. And during my period of incarceration, it was because of my activism, and I became a political prisoner or a freedom fighter or a prisoner of war, as you might say. It's a labor of love. I would love to see the masses of our people supporting those who are behind the walls and who are out, and comprehend that, you know, criminalization is a tool of this system. The they use it to justify locking us up like we're animals. And here's a voice that has not yet been heard. There's a brother, he's an example of my point, named Baranza Bowers. He paid his dues years ago. And when the day came, and they were releasing him to the custody of his sister, his sister's a sheriff in the system. When the day came for this brother to walk, they decided they were just going to keep him. They just didn't open the gates. I mean, so to show you the absurdity of what's happening, you know, and how it connects to the 13th Amendment and also to Rex 84, the Dred Scott decision, Plessy versus Ferguson, and the Three-Fifths Compromise. They all work in solidarity to keep the oppressed oppressed.
Definitely. I want to say, you know, if we got anybody out there that would like to add on to the march, would like to loan their services, whatever their skill set, you know, we're looking for good people. We're looking for more local organizing committees. We're looking for, even with this radio show, we're looking for a few more hosts to help with our media team, you know, because at times, things do get overwhelming when you got a small cadre of people that's trying to do something that's phenomenal. You know, it's kind of taxing at times, but the love we got for what we do allow us to keep it moving, to keep adding on. So we asking the people, we asking you, help us help you. You know, come join the ants. Be one of the ants where we can move together. We need you. You know, that's what I'm saying. So you can go to our Facebook page and get in Millions for Prisoners March on Washington, or you can go to IamWeUbuntu.com. You know, and that's what it is. You know, and that's what it is. We need you. And if you know any congressmen, lawmakers who are friendly to our cause, please let us know. Because we need to reach out to as much people as we need to reach out. And on that note, always keep in mind the 13th Amendment, the new abolishment movement. We trying to do the things we trying to do. So please help us help you.
Power to the people.
Well, the four human beings with their hands on bars, shackled in the world, are locked up here in the land of the free.
Khalif Browder was walking home from a party when he was stopped by police.
And they said, we're going to take you to the precinct, and most likely we're going to let you go home. And then I never went home.
13th Amendment to the Constitution makes it unconstitutional for someone to be held as a slave. There are exceptions, including criminals. Loophole was immediately exploited. What you got after that was a rapid transition to a mythology of black criminality.
That needed to be controlled.
You better believe it.
It became virtually impossible for a politician to run and appear soft on crime.
The kinds of kids that are called.
Walter Scott, say his name.
Now I'd like to say to that, thank you for supporting No Shackle Radio. Until next week, peace.
Peace. Thank you.